That little while is about gone. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, he didn't say might. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. You can be seated. Father, we thank you this morning for the precious word of God and this precious time together, Lord, at your house, Father. Lord, we're such debtors to your grace this morning, Lord, that you would look upon us, God, and you would visit us, Heavenly Father, today. We ask you, Lord, to give us, Lord, that we stand in need of. Lord, search our hearts this morning. God, if there's one lost this day, God, in your presence, Lord, we ask you, God, to bring conviction upon them, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, this morning to heed the word of God today, Lord, and be looking, God, for your appearing, Lord. For just a little while, Lord, you said you're coming. We're looking for that glorious day, Lord, what we sung about this morning, Lord. Headed to a land that's fairer than day. Land where there's no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sin, no more battles to fight, Lord. No more tears to cry. No more funerals to attend. No graveyards over there, Lord. God, we bless you for that hope this morning, God, that you've given us, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Calvary. We thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Listen this morning. Jesus is coming. That's one of the central truths of the Christian faith. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied of one day a Messiah coming into the world. Through the ages, they prophesied. One day, an angel appeared to Mary and told her that there would be one conceived in her womb that would be the Savior of the world to take away the sins of the world. He lived. He walked upon this earth. He done good everywhere he went. Everyone that came to him with a need, he never refused a one. And let me tell you this morning, he's still that same God today. Those that would come to him today, he will not refuse them. Let me tell you, he loves from the lowest to the low today, and he'll save to the uttermost them that come unto him. But I'm looking for him today because he said he's coming again. Can I tell you today that this old world is looking for a deliverer today in man? Hey, this country today is looking for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton to come and do great things for this country, friend. But my Bible tells me, I hate to burst your bubble today, it says that things in the last days are going to wax worse and worse. And we better get our eyes off of things down here and get our eyes fixed today on some things above because the Lord is soon to come. Well, listen to me. We've got a deliverer. And he's taking us out of this old world. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger down here. I'm a citizen of another country this morning by birth. Amen? I hope you are today too. Listen to me. Jesus is coming, ready or not. But the warning today in the Word of God tells us throughout the New Testament we better be getting ready for His appearing is near. He's coming one of these days in what we call the rapture, a catching away. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up into the clouds with to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." That's God's Word. That's God's promise to the saved people of this old world right here. Well, listen to me. But there's coming not only a rapture, but a revelation one day. Well, after this rapture and we go away for a 7-year period, there'll be trouble on this earth. The Bible says like there's never been before. Jude has something to say about this revelation of Christ when he comes to set his feet down on this old earth. Enoch, also the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment. He's not coming with grace in that hour. Grace will end when the church and the Spirit of God is called out of this world to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches and ungodly sinners which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. I'm glad my sins are forgiven today. I'm glad I won't be in that crowd right there. Amen. Listen to me. It is certain that Christ is going to return to earth one day. I think we take it for granted. We get caught up in the things of the world and we forget about the promises of God and the day and hour in which we live and the closeness of it today. He that shall come will come. Listen to me. I want to talk about the certainty of Christ's return. First of all, let me say this about the Word of God. Isaiah said in chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. This book right here is forever settled in heaven. It's under attack today in the day at which we live. Hey, let me tell you something, the Antichrist, the anti-God people don't like this book today. It's under attack, but let me tell you, it's going to stand when this world is burnt to a cinder. This Word's going to stand. Let me say that we have the certainty of Christ's return because of the Word of God. God said He's coming. We've got it written in this Bible that says Jesus is coming one day. Can I tell you this? As in the New Testament alone, there are 7,957 verses in the New Testament. On an average of one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament, it refers to Christ coming back for His church, and it warns of being ready for that hour and that day. One out of every... Don't you think it's very important to be ready for that day? If God so warned us in His Word throughout these Bible pages of the New Testament to be ready for that second appearing, there's a deadline for each and every one of us to prepare for that day. So we must be ready. I'm glad I'm certain of Christ's return because of the Word of God. I'm certain because also of the Word of angels. When Jesus ascended back up on high after He rose from the grave and His disciples stood there gazing up into the heavens, two angels stood by that day and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken from you shall sure come again in like manner as you've seen Him go." The Word of angels. Not only the Word of angels, but the words of Christ Himself. When Jesus spoke to His disciples, He was revealing to them in the Word of God that He's going away. He came to them in John chapter 14, and no doubt He knew their heart. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And He said, "I'm a-going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Words of Christ. The last chapter in your Bible, in Revelation chapter number 22. Three times in that chapter, Jesus said, "I come quickly. I come quickly." But He also had one more statement to make. He said, "My reward is with Me to give every man according to his works." Better be ready for that day and that hour, because it's soon to come upon mankind. Jesus said in Luke 21:33, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." This Word's true. Let me say something this morning to our young people here. Young kids, let me say something to you this morning. Those of you in public schools, There's a thing that come about in the early 1900s called atheism, evolution, secular humanism or humanism. And the people that introduced this got it into the school systems. You know that my mother's passed and gone on now, but when she was alive, let me say too, you better listen to some of the elders. They got some words of wisdom. Talking to my mother about school, and they had Bible taught in school. They had prayer taught in school. And all the things of God was taught in their classrooms at school. And as time progressed and as this secular humanism came in to the school system and through wicked people, they began to chip it away a little bit at a time. Chipping it away. And you know, when I was in elementary school, Brother Tim, very first thing we did in the mornings, we pledged allegiance to the flag. We had prayer. One kid would take turns each day, come forward and read a devotional. I read Psalms 100 so many times I about wore it out. But let me tell you, that was the norm. But now it's ridiculed. Now it's mocked. Now evolution is taught in the schools, which is theory. I've got truth right here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all that there is therein. Let God be true and every man a liar. One of the secular humanists made this statement. He said, well, we've gotten into the schools. We've got control. He said this, we've got them kids 5 days a week. The parents has got them in Sunday school, maybe in Sunday school 1 hour a week. He said, we've won. We've won. We've got the kids. Are you listening to me this morning? Listen to me, parents. The devil wants your children. Amen. He's got his place this morning. Let me tell you what, this is no surprise to God. No surprise to God. Listen what Jude said. In verse 3, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, listen, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen to this next verse. For there are certain men crept in unawares. They've got in. They've gotten in because they want your children. Kids, they want you. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're at today. That's why it's so important, parents, for you to live a godly life around your children. Sunday morning, Sunday night or Wednesday night ought not to be the only time they see God down at your house. They need you. They up against it. Amen? Well, let me move on. The certainty of Christ's return. But now let's look at this. The chaos around Christ's return. I want you to turn with me to the book of St. Matthew for just a few minutes here. Chapter number 24. Jesus teaching His disciples here in Matthew 24. In verse 3, there was a question asked of His disciples. He said, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. Jesus began to expound on wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences and various things that would come upon the face of the earth. But those are not the things that I want to talk about for just a few minutes. Certainly we live in that day when there's wars and rumors of wars and things going on in the world that cause men's heart to be troubled. He also said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would wax cold. The great signs that Christ gave to His disciples there that day. But I'm interested in verse number 36. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now if you want to flip over to Genesis chapter number 6, we're going to look at a few verses right there. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to notice some things about the chaos around Christ's return. I believe if we took a poll in here this morning of everybody that's had the news on lately, you'd probably say that this world is in a chaotic state. It's a mess. And man doesn't have the solutions to the problems that's going on in this world today. We have chaos all around us. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says this, what God saw, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This happened just before the flood, when God destroyed the earth by water. What about the violence that's going on in the world today? Isn't it a violent place today in which we live? I'm telling you, you have to watch your back at all times, don't you? Amen. Maybe it ain't so bad right here in Bowden, Georgia, but I tell you what, I just don't care to walk down the streets of Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. There's violence. Every time you turn on the news, it's one got killed over here, a body was found over there, and there's all kind of violence going on in the world today. Home invasions and robberies and different things going on. This world is filled with violence, and I wonder what God thinks about it. I'll tell you what He thinks. He says, it's going to be like this just before I come. Better beware today. The violence, gangs, we got murders, we got rapes, we've got robberies, we got child molesters, we've got terrorism to worry about now. We've got school shootings, drive-by shootings. A violent crime occurs every 25.3 seconds in the United States of America. Pretty grim statistics. And it also, you know, one of the things the liberals, they got it all figured out how to solve this thing of all the violence going on. Take away the guns from all the folks. All the people that's not breaking the laws, all the folks that want to keep a gun to protect themselves, they want to take them away from us. You think the criminals are going to go down to the gun store and buy a gun? No. They're going to buy one somewhere that's been stolen. Gun violence. You'll hear a lot about that in this campaign for president coming up. I got some guns at home, Brother Lee. I've got a 9mm, I've got a 38, I've got a 308, I've got a 45 automatic, I've got a 30-06, I've got a Ruger 10-22, and I've got a sawed-off 410. My guns never have got violent with me. My guns have never got violent with anybody. It ain't got nothing to do with the guns. It's got all to do with the weakness of mankind in these last days. Amen. Man puts no value, seemingly, on life anymore. And no wonder. Let me just run this by you. Brother Dwayne, I think we've probably killed some 55, 60 million babies since abortion was legalized. Oh, it's all right just to kill an unborn baby. That takes away value from life, doesn't it? When it's legalized to kill the very innocent ones of this world, the most innocent. And I tell you what else is crazy, Brother Tim. It's all right to kill the unborn, but you take your young'un out here somewhere and give them a good whopping, they'll lock you up for child abuse. This world's gone crazy. Crazy. Violence today. Anarchy. Lawlessness. I'm telling you, when people can get out and march in the streets and say, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it? Now. Pigs in a blanket. Fry them like bacon. And they can, oh, it's their right. Oh, they got their rights to free speech. Oh, I wish I could run things for about 30 minutes. I'd give them some rights. We're in a mess, Brother Joe. This world's in a mess. But it's not taking God by surprise at all. Violence in the last days. It's bad. Listen to me. Not only the violence of the last day, look at verse number 12. The vileness. And God looked upon the earth, and He's still seeing things today that's going on. And behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. We live in a time of corruption. You know, I don't know why I watch Fox News. I get upset every time I watch it. And yet I get the remote and turn it back on there just so I can get mad, I guess. I'm telling you, this political system is so corrupt. Sheila had a man come in the store down there where she works the other day, been with the IRS for 25 years. He quit. He said it's corrupt. The whole system of government in this country is corrupt. She agreed with him. He said, oh, you don't know half of it. He said, people don't realize the corruption that's in Washington. They don't have an inkling about how corrupt it is. We're living in the day of corruption. When people rather tell you a lie than the truth. Amen? How you know when a politician's lying? When they open their mouth. Amen? And what do? We swallow it, hook, sinker, line, everything we believe, every word they say, don't we? God help us. The violence today. We're living in a day of where mankind has just seemed like it's lost all values of godliness. Wicked. Wickedness. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the wickedness of this world. The devil knows we're made up of flesh. And we're susceptible to wickedness. There's moral corruption because it seems like there's no moral restraint. Not enough. In other words, right here's moral restraint. This is moral restraint right here. For you, for your children. And if you don't get this ingested in you and know what God says about wickedness and try to stay away from it, then you'll be right in there with the worst of them. Are you listening to me? No moral restraint. I remember when I was a kid coming up, some of the TV shows, Andy Griffith, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Lassie, I Love Lucy, The Ed Sullivan Show. People like to have a stroke when Elvis Presley went on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, that was the That was the ugliness of that day. But listen to me. Today, TV shows are filled with the filth. Filth. Listen to me. Filth. Profanity, violence, nudity, promoting sexual perversion, promoting homosexuality, promoting lesbianism, promoting adultery and fornication, and it's progressively getting worse and worse. And let me tell you, what God said is an abomination is still an abomination today. You do not have to compromise what this Word says right here. You don't have to go along with the world. You better teach your children what God says about things. Amen. Well, let's move on. The chaos around Christ's return. The violence, the vileness. Let me just mention this too about the vileness. Marital corruption. You'll find it back in first part of this chapter in Noah's day. Marriages got corrupted. Can I tell you this? Same-sex marriage is out of hell. Same-sex marriage is out of hell. And let me tell you, adultery is still adultery. It's not an affair in God's eyes. It's still adultery. Homosexuality is still an abomination in the sight of God. Listen. The violence, the vanity. He said they were marrying, giving in marriage. Over in Luke's gospel, Jesus also spoke about the days of Lot. They were buying, they were selling. I mean, it was a time of prosperity. You know, whether we realize it or not, we've got it a lot better than our mamas and daddies had. Amen? We're just never content with what we have got. But let me say this. They were living it up. They were partying. You know, a lot of young folks today just live for the weekends. Work through the week, man, but party time comes on the weekend. We got ball games, we got alcohol, we've got everything at our hands. Drugs, just things to live it up with. That was the type of things that was going on in Noah's day and in Lot's day. Eating and drinking, partying, living it up. But they knew it not. In other words, they rejected truth in that day because they loved their lifestyle. Let me say this. There's $90 billion a year in the United States spent on alcohol. $90 billion a year spent on alcohol. Not to mention the drugs and things that's going on. But it takes another $225 million to help iron out the things that the alcohol's causing. The disease. The funerals. The hospital bills. The broken homes and broken hearts and things that's going on. There's 100,000 lives that's lost related to alcohol every year in the United States, and a lot of it is young people. You better not play with that junk. It's deadly. And probably as I'm standing here before you this morning, there's probably somebody in the audience here today that's probably guilty. It'll ruin you. It'll kill you. The violence, the vanity, the vexing. Notice this in Genesis 6, 5 and 6. The vexing. When God gets a belly full, in other words. Since God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Bible tells us we better guard our hearts with all diligence. Evil will take it over. And it repented the Lord that He'd made man on the earth, and it grieved Him in His heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Boy, that's a grieved heart for such a loving God to pronounce that kind of judgment. Judgment. Guilty. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. If you can't see that we're in that day and hour, then the devil's got you blinded. You need to get into your Bible. Jesus also said that His appearing would be like a snare that would come upon the whole earth. In other words, folks ain't going to be looking for Him. Very few. In Noah's day, there was only 8 souls saved, though he preached for 120 years. Sad, isn't it? Brother Lee, used to, when I was a kid coming up, revival meeting, they might be 25, 30, 40 people get saved. Now there's just a few gleanings left here and there. We're in the last days. Harvest is about over. Not only the certainty of Christ's return, the chaos around Christ's return, but lastly this, and I'll be through. The compassion before Christ return. You know something that's amazing about the Lord? He always offers mercy before judgment. Because He knows the horrors of hell. Jesus never created hell for you and me. And if a man, woman, boy, or girl goes to hell, it'll be because they have rejected Christ. Took their chances. And hell, no doubt, is enlarging itself day by day according to the Word of God. The love of God in Genesis 6 and 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad for grace today, ain't you? I'm glad that... Hey, let me tell you, there's never been a hell-bound sinner. Never been a hell-bound sinner that can't find grace in the eyes of the Lord in the day in which we live if they want grace. You've got to want grace. God ain't going to force it on you. You've got to cry out to Him and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me and save me. When God told Noah, when God warned Noah of things that was going to come, he was moved with fear, the Bible says, to the preparing of an ark, to the saving of his house. Oh, you better fear God today. Eternity. I can't even comprehend eternity, how long that is. My mind can't fathom it. But, Brother Michael, Sister Terry, I believe I was on the brink of that when Jesus saved me. I was on the brink of plunging into a devil's hell for all eternity. I could be there today screaming, crying, agony, pain, with no hope of ever coming out. Never. The love of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God takes no pleasure, He says, in the death of the wicked. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, I wonder how many times Noah preached for 120 years, Brother Lee. Wonder how many times Noah, working on that old ark, hammering away, the Holy Ghost move upon him to turn around. And I just imagine in my, I comprehend in my mind that it was a curious thing probably to a lot of people. I would imagine great crowds probably came around to look at him, maybe to mock him. Maybe they were curious and wondering if it might not just be true what he's saying. But they didn't come. God called for 120 years. The love of God. The call of God. The line of God. God said this. The Lord said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, I'm giving you 120 years to get right. He's giving you opportunity today to get right. Would y'all come with a song this morning, please? Wonder, lost person, have you ever heard the call of God? You ever felt the wooing of the Holy Ghost? You ever felt the need in your heart to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins? You ever felt that drawing inside you? God's not willing that you should perish and die and go to a devil's hell. And it's so simple. The dying thief next to Christ on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to say some great, great prayer.